Episode 266 of Way of the Warrior is brought to you by Celebration Cinema, that brings you UFC 185 on the big screen. That is where you can catch, well, most of us this week, as we will be live at Celebration Cinema North. And I will attempt to do, I want to do a meerkat afterwards. I'm not really sure that you're going to be down with that. But
this is all I'm getting.
Okay.
That's I have an arrow.
Yeah, you do have an arrow.
But I'm watching.
You are watching, which is exciting.
Wonder if all these guys are getting arrows. Did you play the open yet?
We're still in the cold. We're in the cold, the dry
okay,
open.
All right, so you
can do whatever you want with it. It is episode 266, Way of the Warrior. It's talking everything about the world of mixed martial arts as we jump into UFC 185. It happens this weekend. Somebody might not make weight. Overeem might test positive. All of that stuff could happen. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts and doing this podcast. Nice, Ken. Doing this podcast on Meerkat. So we might take some questions as we're broadcasting on Meerkat, and people might ask them.
There's a delay.
There is a bit of delay. Technical difficulties as Ken tries to play with the internet.
Hey, see, I fixed it, though. Look.
That's terrific. I love it.
Let me turn it down.
Please do. UFC 185, it is this weekend as Anthony Pettis takes on Rafael Dos Anjos, or RDA as he might be known, in the main event. In the co-main event, Carla Esparza, the first strawweight champ, takes on Johanna Jędrzejczyk. She is undefeated. She is from Poland, and she is a Muay Thai striker, so that should be an interesting test for a couple reasons. One, because I think Johanna hits much harder than Carla might be used to. And two, Ken, you and I think both kind of agree in this universe that you actually have to defend your belt once to kind of be considered the champ. The fact that you won the belt is certainly a big deal, but the defense of it is kind of the bigger deal.
Well, I mean, and if you're a woman's champ, I think that goes, that's twofold. And I'm not trying to be discriminatory or misogynistic there. We just don't see these fighters, and they've essentially been awarded the belts at this point. You know, Ronda Rousey, obviously, legitimizing her belt. She's defended it a ton of times, taken a lot of arms home with her. But, you know, essentially these two fighters are no names as far as any MMA fan goes. So we've got to see them fight a couple times. And the first strawweight championship, is this a defense, technically?
How do you picture it, right? So she essentially wins the Ultimate Fighter and is awarded the belt for winning the show.
Right.
So that makes her the strawweight champion. Do you not?
I don't know.
Is this the championship to you then?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I think you've got to actually go in there and have the belt. I guess it was on the line. See, I don't know. I can't commit to anything with this one. I mean, I'll watch it. It's on the card. You know, we've got Alistair Overeem. Is this going to be the co-main?
So Carla and Johanna is co-main, yes.
Yeah, I don't mind that move. I mean, you're going to stay there all night anyways and watch the main event, so you might as well put them in that slot and try to legitimize a championship.
And not only that, Ken, I think after Ronda's performance, you want to see if this, to me, you want to see if this weight class has the same sort of clout. And I'm not trying to make the comparison between Carla and Ronda at this point at all. But if you have people tuning in to go, oh, they've got another division of women, is that like Ronda Rousey? Awesome, because I want to check that out.
Yeah, people want more of that right now. And there's only one Ronda Rousey.
Yes. Let's be clear about that. There is only one Ronda Rousey. And for those of you who asked on Facebook, we will absolutely dive into the idiocy that is Fedor and what he said about women's MMA. We'll do that a little bit later on.
Is it worse than what I say?
It actually is worse than what it's what you say when you're joking. It's way worse than what you
Fedor's
actually
totally
mean,
serious
though.
About
yeah,
it.
He's dead serious about it. But the main event, Anthony Pettis taking on Rafael Dos Anjos, or they call him RDA. There are two fights on this card that I'm fascinated by. This being one of them. Anthony Pettis is a guy that continually goes out there and impresses people. And Rafael Dos Anjos is a guy who just stays constantly busy, right? He was a guy who at one point, and he talked to Ariel Helwani this week, at one point was talking about how he started to consider himself kind of that mid-tier fighter, that you got to get past him to get into the winner's circle, so to speak, and start, you know, being contended, seen to be a contender. And then he did some training and cornered Frankie Edgar for the Gray Maynard fight, and watching Frankie train and Frankie's mindset and all of that stuff kind of changed the way that Rafael was doing what he was doing. And He's won 9 in a row, finished 8 out of the last 9, and he, you know, beat Benson and Nate Diaz back to back because he had to stay busy. Because as you and I talk about it, 155, you just have to stay busy.
They're, yeah,
you know,
well,
that's all there is to it.
It pays off to stay busy too, because I don't think we would have looked at this, you know, after he lost to. Was it Nurmagomedov?
Yes.
Was that his last loss? I don't think we would have looked at him in that fight and said, oh, well, he's going to be close to the championship. We always call it the Shark Tank. But if you stay busy and you get a couple wins in a row and you're the guy that's there and that's healthy and that's impressive enough to be there, he's in the main event of this UFC.
Now, let me ask you a question. As you watch the countdown and you watch the embedded, there's a moment where Anthony Pettis is talking about Rafael Dos Anjos as a competitor and says, I don't feel he's a guy that wants to finish. This is the guy, the first guy ever to knock out Benson Henderson. Whatever you want to say about the finish, if it was too early or whatever, I mean, when your legs go out from underneath you, you're knocked out.
Is that a guy that's trying to talk it up, though, for himself? He's going into this fight saying, I'm fighting a guy who can't finish. I'm going to finish this fight. I'm going to make it mine.
Perhaps. I mean, his comparison is talking about the Nate Diaz fight where Rafael just chopped and punched Nate Diaz into not wanting to fight anymore and
which is fairly impressive.
Sure, and never really finished him. But, I mean, the Diaz guys don't normally get finished all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Nate has been finished, but not very often.
And I mean, if you beat Nate Diaz and you do it in that way, that's not. I'll just use the example because you just brought him up. That's not the old Benson Henderson, you know, not necessarily lay and pray, but just sort of dance and pray decision that we kind of saw here and there.
Yes.
He clearly won that fight and was impressive at moments in that fight. He didn't finish it. No, but I mean, I don't think that makes him not a finisher. This isn't a guy I look at and go, oh, you know, Dos Anjos, it's going to be a decision. I've never really thought that when I've looked at his fights.
Now, so what is when you look at this fight, do you think it's a runaway success for Anthony Pettis? Is it a first-round finish, or is Rafael going to kind of test him?
I think Rafael's a good fight for him. I think you know, Anthony Pettis should win this one. I mean, obviously, he beat Gill last time.
Yes.
That was his last fight in. Obviously, he beat Benson. I mean, He's got about the most impressive resume right now at 155 there is, with some of the dudes that have been former champions. Donald Cerrone, I'm looking on the list here. He's got some big wins there. Obviously, he's beaten a couple of great guys. He did take that loss to Clay Guida back. I think that wasn't that one of the fighter finales?
Yes, I believe it was.
Sorry, folks, I don't watch a lot of those. This should be a good fight for him. I mean, I'm pretty impressed that they're going big distribution with that, too. You talked about Celebration Cinema North. It's going to have it. Those deals are always made basically at the UFC level, and they let distributors know, hey, we're going to make this available in theaters. And that's usually something that they'll reserve for somebody like Jon Jones. Or they had it set up. It was obviously Ronda Rousey's a huge star, but that was originally set up because Weidman Belfort was going to be on that fight.
Sure.
So I think this speaks to their confidence in Anthony Pettis here and giving him a showcase fight to say to their distributors, okay, we want to go top down with this. This is going to be one of our premier fights that you want to see in a theater and we want to put on a big screen.
Do you think this, and one of the articles that have been floating around this week is talking about Anthony Pettis and his, you know, can they turn him into this pay-per-view star, which you're alluding to, is a victory here in round one over RDA, does that do it?
That's a big win. I mean, you've got the fights on this card to make this a card that people will either shell out a couple of bucks for or stop by the theater to see, go to the bar where it's showing, because you've got guys, I mean, as much as we make fun of him, Alistair Overeem is always a draw. You've got a guy on this card, Johnny Hendricks is on the card.
Yes, he is.
I mean, that dude is the guy we thought was going to be holding this belt for a long time at his weight class, and he's on this card. So you've got the women's fight, which is turning out to be kind of a plus. I mean, it may bomb after this weekend, depending on how the performance is, but right now they'll get that Ronda Rousey rub on a lot of their women's fights for a little bit. So this is a nice setup for Anthony Pettis here on this headlining event.
And you know, he has been talking and his coach has been talking about that he wants to fight 3 times a year, and that this is kind of a start to this, and I hope that he stays healthy enough to do that, because I really feel, Ken, and I think you would agree with me, these lower tier weight classes, and I'm excluding Ronda Rousey, but these lower tier weight classes that don't necessarily have superstars fighting more often, I think lends credibility to those weight classes so you can continue to do this stuff.
Well, it's more opportunities to see the guys, which make them more familiar. And if the guys are impressive in their fights, and that's one thing I'll give to Anthony Pettis. I mean, he's been fairly impressive in his fights. The fact that he's the champion now should bode well for the division. I mean, you see this with this division. Conor McGregor's at 145 doing the same thing right now, where he wants to finish fights, and he's got that championship fight lined up. The more familiarity we have with these guys and the better the fights are, the better it is for the UFC as a whole. We've talked about it before. There's a glut of talent in these divisions, but nobody seems to know who they are because there's so many of them.
Right.
You need a little bit of dominance or a little bit of flair for these divisions to really pick up. And, you know, even with Benson Henderson.
You mean we need five Conor McGregors?
We need five of them, yes. And they all need to be from Ireland. That's a given.
That's,
my bad.
Yes.
My bad. But you need a little flair here. I mean, that's why. I mean, Donald Cerrone, he's floated around that championship level. He's a huge favorite because he's a great fighter that goes out and puts on shows.
He fights 68 times a
week. Right,
year.
Right. A week. he tries to sanction multiple fights in a month. So those are some of the guys you want to see. They desperately need some of these dudes to turn into pay-per-view draws at some point, because we've joked about it. We've looked at the calendar. They're using up pretty much all their fighters before we hit this July 1st drop dead date for the new testing procedure.
Yes, for the new testing.
And you know, you joke about it, but I do think it's fair to the fighters, at least if you're going to do something different, that you either let them fight before or you take a giant break after. And clearly, I think we've got every division, don't we, other than 135? Fighting before July 1st in a championship
Demetrius
fight?
Demetrius is not fighting before then, so yeah. So I would say
everybody.
Because
we got the heavyweights.
That.
We got the.
So Carla will have fought this weekend. Ronda will have fought this weekend.
Yeah, even the women.
It'll be everybody.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting because we're going to hit July and we're going to find out what's going on at that point and how long some of these dudes needed to basically comply with the testing as it is now. So. We've got a couple of months here that the UFC's seen as make or break. I wouldn't doubt that they're looking at the last half of the year, and they're not writing it off by any means, but certainly they may be expecting some fighters to not necessarily be there. Anderson's obviously gone at this point, unless he wins that appeal, which
right.
He's not going to win that, right?
I don't think so,
This is where we need Joe to explain all the intricacies of the NAC, but
speaking of
he's
Joe,
gone a while.
Who knows when he's going to show
up. No, I meant Silva.
Oh, Silva has gone a while. So is Joe Biondo and Kenobi, who is watching on Meerkat, and I want to remind you, Joe, and anyone else who's watching on Meerkat, Meerkat is not a desktop app. It is a mobile app. So if you're watching it on the desktop, it does look like shit because it's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be on a mobile phone, so switch to a mobile device and it won't look so terrible.
Wow. You know what I like is when a company just alienates a base of users.
Well, but it's
for those of you on desktop, at least you're not on Android, where it just keeps wanting to throw up on my phone. So those 30% of you using iPhones and really proud of it.
First of all, that is a worldwide
stat. We
want
to do that again?
Yeah, well, we can do a marketing podcast in the middle of this if you want to. Johnny Hendricks and Matt Brown are on this card, and this is a fight that, the other one that I'm super excited about. Both of them have lost to Robbie Lawler. Matt Brown is a guy that I just don't know that you want to fight. Certainly on your best day. He's just a guy who just won't go away. We joked a year ago that Matt Brown's one of those guys that the more fights he wins, the further away he gets from a title shot. And here he is having to take on the former champ to see who's going to get that next shot at Robbie Lawler. And it is in Hendricks' backyard. If you watched Embedded, you know that Hendricks gets to drive to the hotel in that tank he calls a truck.
Oh, he's from Dallas?
He's in Dallas right now. Yeah, so he's
I didn't know that.
It's home turf for him. So he gets to, you know, eat the way that he wants to eat, and I think much easier for people in their home.
We all saw Rocky.
Well,
he got to fight at the Spectrum.
Yeah. So there's the Rocky aspect, but there's also the nerves of having to do it in front of people that you know, like lots more of your family.
There's pressure, for sure.
Show up for that pressure. But I think the advantage, the food advantages and the lack of travel is certainly an advantage that's kind of an X factor in MMA, that if you don't really have to travel and you can just kind of show up and stay on weight, you don't have to worry about all that stuff. Specifically, like if Sean were here, he would talk to you about that science of flying, you know, that it does something to your body. You hold on to water and it makes it harder to shed weight and that sort of thing. So you got to get there earlier and run through all of that process so that you can get back on track. If you don't have to travel, you don't have to deal with that stuff.
So where's Matt coming from? Do you know?
Matt is coming from he's in Cincinnati. I don't know where he's coming from directly
to
Dallas. But
well, it's not that far off. He'll have to do the flights and everything.
I'm not worried about his weight. I just think it's easier when you don't have to travel. But this is an exciting fight, and I think these two guys are going to go out and absolutely lay it all on the line because they both have something to prove. Both of those guys, if you talk to them, will tell you that they both thought they won their respective fights against Robbie Lawler. The judges saw it differently. That strips Hendricks of his belt. It strips Matt Matt Brown of his chance to fight Johnny Hendricks. So Matt Brown at least
gets... No, he gets Hendricks now.
Now he does, but he didn't. You know, when he was the number one contender, he lost that opportunity. He gets it back at this point to see what he can do. And it's very interesting if you watch the embeds, this watching these two guys go back and forth in their training, both trying to figure out which one of them is training harder to make sure that they're in the tip-top condition of their life, because this is a fight where if Hendricks loses to Matt Brown, I think it's going to be a much longer climb than he expects to get back to Robbie Lawler.
See, I don't necessarily agree. If either of these guys loses, I think Matt Brown actually has more to lose. Johnny's been there before, and that always says something when it comes down to the bottom line. They'll put Johnny Hendricks in a pay-per-view before they'll put Matt Brown there. I don't think we've had an announcement. Well, this is about as definitive a number one contenders fight as we've had in a while, don't you think? Or coming off the losses to the guy with the belt means you're not necessarily back there yet.
I think they just called this, like, anybody who isn't Rory McDonald who fights together gets a chance to fight for the championship.
See, whoever wins, they're going to have to win in a nice fashion, basically. They're going to have to dominate. They're going to have to get a big KO, a big sub to get back to that title fight, because it's always tough to put you back in there against the guy you just lost to. But like you said, I mean, you had the split decision with Hendricks, so he's got a case there. Maybe he won that fight. Some people think Matt won that fight. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I understand the people making the case. So it's a very strange situation. Usually you wouldn't say these guys could go right back to fighting the champion, especially if that's going to be Robbie Lawler at the point that fight gets made, because they both lost to him. But they both have an argument about, well, that fight went this way, but I think I won, and I ended up beating the guy that was number one in the division, essentially, in front of me.
Yeah, and behind, you know,
are they 1-2 right now?
No, they're 1-5. So
one
it's,
and five.
It's Hendricks, Rory, Tyrone, Carlos, and
Brown.
Matt Brown
can't catch a break, can he?
Well,
five.
Yeah, and well, because I think, you know, not that we want to spend a lot of time talking about rankings, but this is one of the issues with the rankings. I think is that you should.
He wins and slides back.
He does win and slide back. That is a fact. But what I'm talking about is when you're dealing with somebody like Carlos Condit, who's got a 9 to 10 month outing with a knee injury. Mm-hmm. I think that guy needs to come out of the rankings till he's back fighting.
Are you and your friends still voting on those?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm.
Do you get a survey like once a month, like when you're at the restaurant or something?
Yes.
You can send it into Dana or Lorenzo.
You get a free thing of wings at Buffalo Wild Wings if you fill out three of the cards in a row on time. They make sure that you do that. But
well, you know, you could just not vote for him too.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at the overall rankings, and he's still.
So do you think that's a lot of people not paying attention, and we don't want to start arguing about the rankings?
Again, but I don't want to start, but I just think there should be a thing where it just pulls them out. You've seen them pull fighters out, like Nate Diaz when he's in contract disputes just disappears. You can't pick him. I think they could put the same sort of...
Remember they put the empty slot in there that one
time? Yeah, there's just a blank thing. Hey, did you notice your guy's missing?
They pulled it out in the middle of the week.
Right.
He had like that black silhouette you see when you create a fighter. On EA.
Yes, that's exactly what it looked like. So I'm just saying, like, as they're working through the ranking process and they're moving it to a mobile platform so you don't have to log into a desktop, you can do it wherever you are. They're making changes. I think that's when they've got to talk through. Like, if somebody's injured and it's 9 to 12, if you're Dominick Cruz, I think you get pulled out. Like, you've had one fight in 4 years. You don't get to get ranked.
I don't have a problem with that. Put it on your card.
Yes. Well, on my comic card?
I'll make you a card.
On my comic card.
I'll make you a card.
Also on this card.
Put it on Meerkat.
Also on this. I'm putting it on Meerkat right now. Also on this card, Roy Nelson, and as Ken talked about, Alistair Overeem.
Oh, Roy Nelson, a draw, too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I shortchanged him earlier when I was mentioning the fighters on this card.
You know, so you got Nelson and Overeem, which is a fun fight for anybody who's been paying attention. But I think it's interesting that I've only seen... If you're not on MMA Fighting, right, you're not with any of the journalist circles, if you're on the UFC's YouTube channel where they're putting out the promotions, you've barely seen Alistair Overeem. He was in Embedded 3, the third episode of Embedded for this card.
Do you think that's
for like
conscious,
one
though?
Second.
I mean, I don't know exactly how the testing's going to go. You don't build that dude up a whole lot you're not sure.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like you've put him on the card because you know it's going to be a fun fight, but you're not necessarily sure. My friend Joe Teague was calling it beer versus horse meat. You're not really sure which one of them is going to win, and if Roy Nelson doesn't win and Alistair wins, does he come out clean? And if he doesn't come out clean,
it's a bad time to not come out clean,
too. This is what I'm saying. If he doesn't come out clean, is he gone? Like, do you just get rid of him before July? Because you know he's not going to pass that test.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's around if he tests positive again. That'd be his third UFC test? I'm not 100% sure on that. It's at least his second. We know that.
Right.
And then the time he ran out of the country, literally. When they tried to test him, so I think that counts.
To be fair, his mother was sick, and He had a suit that was on order.
He had right, yeah, yes. He had to go to Italy to get fitted. Oh, yeah, and my mom's sick.
So, I mean,
I'll put her on speakerphone. Hi, this is Alistair's mom, everybody.
I do not feel well at all.
He's sick.
My son is
I mean, I'm sick. Who's got to be sick here?
My son is very strong. Okay.
I just imagine Dana White taking that message as we speak.
And the kickoff to the main event, Chris Cariasso taking on Henry Cejudo. And Cejudo is making his debut at 125. And Cariasso has said, by the time you listen to this podcast, the weigh-ins might have happened. We're doing this before the weigh-in. So I want to tell this story because I think it's important. Cejudo has never been down to 125. He's never made the weight.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Olympic gold medalist. So, you know, he calls it his prison lifestyle. To get down there, he's ditched a whole bunch of stuff in his diet to make sure that he's going to make there. Thursday, he was 131 pounds, so has 6 pounds to go to make it. But Cariasso has said, look, we've had concerns the entire camp that this dude's going to make it down to this weight. If he doesn't make it down to this weight, we are not fighting him.
It's a blanket no.
We are not doing this. I'm not taking the 20% cut. I'm not going to fight an Olympic gold medalist who didn't bother to make weight.
Yeah, but is that an issue? Because the guy is an Olympic gold medalist. So the guy clearly knows his body. So I think he knows that he's going to make the weight. I mean, again, we could be totally wrong, especially by the time you're listening. And he walks out there with a cheeseburger. I don't know. But I think the guy knows his weight. I don't know a lot about him. But, I mean, Olympic gold medalist speaks a lot. I don't necessarily disagree with Cariasso saying, no way. I'm not going to mess with this dude if he's not going to come down and make the weight. Because I think more than any other division... any other division in UFC, 125 is the one where you've got to go and make the weight. That's the hardest thing to do.
You know, we've talked about this.
You don't have another spot to land, so
right.
to speak.
You know, we've talked about this with Lineker and Kevin Gastelum. Both of those guys had trouble their last time out. Lineker has had trouble every time he tries to go out, and this is a guy who's brilliant at 125 but can't make the weight, so there's no way they're going to put him in front of Demetrius Johnson. There's just no way because they can't chance it.
So Cejudo's blown weight before, according to... like MMA junkie right
which,
now.
Which is why they're talking about
oh,
it.
Oh, gotcha.
You know? And so, because
why do they let him keep doing that?
I'm
confused.
Again, I think they're trying to work through what that looks like because you want to have...
you need this division to have some fighters.
Well, you need this division to be a division that you want to tune into. And you've said on more than one occasion, and you're not alone, you want to see guys... finish fights.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily expect a guy at 125 to be knocking people out like Lineker does.
Mm-hmm.
And so the UFC and guys like Ken Evans want this guy to make weight because you want to put him in a bout for a championship where you know, hey, it's like he's got Mike Tyson power and he's 125 pounds. I'm going to give you $60 to see Demetrius Johnson fight this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's calm down. Maybe I'll watch on Fox.
All right. Maybe you will watch on Fox. But I think it's important that these guys make weight because they need to build these characters up so that you, especially when you've got a guy like Demetrius Johnson who's so dominant and you've been forced to put.
He's dominant, but, and again, I know he went out and got that finish.
I don't know why you hate so much.
No, I don't. I don't hate him. I don't like being yelled at when I don't like a fighter. And that's what Dana White did after every single fight
totally.
With Demetrius Johnson.
Well, and what I was going to say to back you up on that is you know, you get into a situation where Chris Cariasso, who nobody had ever heard of prior to – I mean, he fought in the UFC, so stop sending me meerkat messages or tweets. But he was not a guy that you went, oh, that dude's going to fight for the title. You went, wait, how – I don't understand. He's like ranked 12th. How is he fighting for the title?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem at 125 right now is there's so many guys that don't have the brand awareness and maybe don't have the acumen that they need to be there. But you've got guys like Lineker who can't make weight. This guy gets injured. That guy gets injured. Now we're 10 people down the roster to Chris Cariasso.
Well, this is clearly an issue because we talked about this when the division was created. It was created for one dude, and it was created for Demetrius Johnson.
Yes.
And his Xbox sponsorship and his...
Well, it was created because, you know, he fought at 135, and anybody who watched that fight, myself included, said, that dude loses 10 pounds and they start a new weight division, just give him the belt. And that is exactly what happened.
That's what they did, but is that a good reason to start a division, or is that something that's going to draw people in? I don't know you just made the opposite point when you start talking about, well, we're all the way through every fighter here. What do we do now?
Yeah, except for the fact that we're at 58 events this year, and I assure you that number's not going to go backwards next year. So the only way you can get people to tune into things on Fox Sports 1 or Fox is if you have a belt attached to it. And you know, so you need a guy like Demetrius Johnson that you might want to put on – one of your bigger Fox cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been on a couple Fox cards and done very well for himself there, and I think that's why you have these divisions. I don't know that we need to go to 115 or 120 or 110 and start three more men's division lower, mm-hmm. but you start another division because you want to do 58 events a year.
Yeah, but that we could go back and you would know the number. I wouldn't. Go back and download the podcast. We've set this up for UFC, and they're in a good spot where they could put more divisions in. I don't know if going lower was the best thing for them. Obviously, they wanted to do it because of Anthony Johnson, but you're seeing the dearth of talent right now at this division. I don't know if Cejudo's...
Demetrius Johnson, not...
Demetrius Johnson?
Not Rumble. Rumble's a 205
pounds. Oh, sorry,
pounds.
Sorry.
Like, he's way far
Dude,
away.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we let two of those guys can fight Rumble Johnson? If we do that, I'm paying for that. Here, let me see what I got right now. I'll give you the money.
All right, guys.
You can help
if
that happen.
You can get down to 103 pounds and you 102 pounds.
Right.
Both of you get to fight Rumble
there
Johnson.
There you go. Oh, we'll give him 10 extra. We'll give him 10 extra.
Perfect. All right.
Do they tag in or out, or is this like a full-on handicap deal?
I mean, you are the one matchmaking at
I'm
this
not
point.
Sure.
So you are the Joe Silva of this event right now. So
yeah,
you can do whatever you want.
I don't hate the division, but you know, I'm not going to pay for it right now. I can be honest there.
And
it'll be interesting to see because, I mean, if Henry Cejudo can make a go at it and be impressive here, you know, that does do something for me. I mean, I look at an Olympic gold medalist
sure.
and go, okay, cool. You
and
know
he,
what?
He would be an undefeated fighter and you could build a story. And even better if he makes the weight and knocks out Carriasso. Now you have a story. But
oh, for
he's
sure.
got to make the weight first.
I see, and I know he's had trouble in the past, but I've got to feel like if you're making this step up to UFC and you're telling them you can make the weight and you're an Olympian, you've got to be able to do it. So it'll be interesting to see here at the weigh-ins here later tonight.
All right, when we come back, we will talk about why Burt Watson left. We'll talk about Mark Munoz. We've got more Brock Lesnar news, which everybody's excited about, and Mark Coleman needs your help. All of that stuff is next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We've been talking about UFC 185. You can catch it on the big screen this weekend at Celebration Cinema, our proud sponsor this week. Tickets at CelebrationCinema.com. And we still got a couple more pairs to blow out on the Facebook page. Just search WOW Show. A big week talking about Burt Watson. We talked a little bit last week about what a big departure that's going to be. Babysitter to the Stars walks out after 14 years. There was a rumor from Front Row Brian talking about that there was an altercation, and Burt Watson joined Ariel Helwani this week on the MMA Hour, that is actually 6.5 hours long,
mm-hmm.
To talk about what happened. And in his words, there was an altercation, but it did not have to do with Rousey's camp. It had to do with Mark Mark Munoz, who apparently was weighing in and got left behind at the weigh-ins and didn't have a ride back to the hotel. And at some point, somebody came up to Burt Watson and questioned the way that he does his job. And he knew who this fighter was and what was going on, and that person was safe, and felt that he was approached in a disrespectful manner and didn't want to deal with it. He didn't get into the specifics. There's been specifics flying around that it didn't have to do with Rousey's crew. It had to do with Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta, and that was that. He just walked out. So that was the end of it.
That seems weird.
It does seem. I mean,
like,
there's a much bigger story as to what that's all about. But it certainly seems weird to have one altercation with your boss and be like, "Peace out after 14 years. I will see you later. You babysit the Stars."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the fighter was backstage, and he had to go get the fighter to do the weigh-in, and then he made weight. So I don't understand what the altercation was about.
Well, the altercation, as I read it, was that when they got back to the hotel, the fighter wasn't with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know.
And so somebody in his camp got mad about it.
Somebody in his camp got mad that he got left behind, and then they...
That's weird that there's got to be more to it, because if there's anything, you know these guys all get puffy, around each other.
Yes.
And they all want to be badass, and they all want to show how tough they are. He's had to have dealt with something like this 1,000 times, you'd imagine.
I would assume that's
especially
the job,
dudes in the
right? That's
right.
The job.
Because it's usually almost never the fighters. It's the dinks in the camp half the time.
But usually
it's not even the guys that are in the... The lower down you go on the posse list, the bigger an a-hole they tend to
right,
be.
Right, guy who's in charge of bringing hummus to the fight.
Right,
guy,
so do you think it was somebody important that did this and Bert's mad about it?
Because
I would imagine. Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it ends up being Dana or Lorenzo, that certainly lends credence to the fact that maybe he felt disrespected and after being there 14 years should have been handled differently. I don't know. But he is on to bigger and better things, whatever those things end up being.
Do you really think that?
Well,
I'm not trying to discredit the dude, but he was event manager for the UFC. What's he going to do? Bellator?
Well, but does it have to be MMA?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm not wishing him ill, but you say that as if it's a given.
I just think lots of people, you know, this world is full of relationships. That's how you get anywhere. And lots of people like him. And so if Dana and Lorenzo have a tiff with him, who knows? You know how you've been around this business for 20 some odd years. You know that these guys don't stay away very long if they're good.
No, I thought you knew something. That's all I was mentioning.
I called him, and he's going to open a sorbet shop in Vegas next to the Vegas Fight Shop.
All right, we'll have to visit that.
You can get all your round five guys in one stop and then get some peach sorbet next door.
Fair enough.
That'll open in 2016. So enjoy that. The tough tryouts, we talked about it last week. They were supposed to be April 20th. They've moved them back a week. That show is going to deal with welterweights and lightweights. And then April 22nd, so a week before that, will be the start to the new form of The Ultimate Fighter, where it'll be the Black Zillions versus American Top Team. The prize is $500,000 to the winning gym. They'll see how that thing goes. But
Can we bring Dr. T back and make him watch those so we don't have to?
Let's do that.
Make him watch those shows.
Absolutely do that. So
he would write a 7-page book report when he used to do the show, and he would read it verbatim on the air, and it was one of the best segments we had.
I wish I had audio of that, because that's exactly what he did, is he wrote a book report.
He was so in-depth.
Yes.
Like the coaches on The Ultimate Fighter weren't paying as close attention as he was. And he would write the whole report out.
He loved that show more than the producers did. So we're going to bring him back and make him do that show so that we don't have to. Brock Lesnar, we are officially 18 days away from WrestleMania. And Ken, the report from Dave Meltzer is Vince and Brock are still not dating.
Yeah, it was interesting.
They're broken up still.
Well, this past week, I've got to believe everything's settled, and here's why.
I mean, I pulled this from this morning. Really? You think, like...
Let me tell you why. I know you're not watching the product as much as you used to.
No, I mean, I'm ancillarily paying attention because I think this story is interesting. Where will Brock end up?
Well, this past week, basically, Brock comes out into the ring, and we had heard that he left the arena the week before.
Right.
He comes out to the ring with his manager, who's Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman mentioned in the wrestling promo that Brock wanted to hold the UFC and WWE titles simultaneously. He doesn't get to mention UFC on the air unless everything's settled.
Sure, yeah.
And that doesn't mean he's going to UFC. That just means he doesn't get to mention it unless everything's settled. So that's what I think. And it wasn't Brock off script either.
No,
it was Paul Heyman.
So you and Joe are kind of the wrestling guys on this show who watch it way closer than I do. But you had said last week that you didn't think that they were going to let that happen.
No.
Is this kind of the look behind the curtain to kind of get people excited about WrestleMania, or do you really think that this is a dual UFC WWE?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's that. I think he's, for whatever reason, is allowed to mention it either to garner interest for WrestleMania. Oh my God, is this guy really going to do that? Will somebody please buy the network? It's only $9.99 a month. All of those things are playing in to this, but I think the point he goes out there and actually says that on the air, they know what they're probably going to do. And I don't know if that probably is a deal or he's actually going to go back to UFC. Either way, here's what your setup is. If he stays with WWE, essentially you've said that, he could go and get it any time, but he's staying here to do this for now. And if he leaves, well, he went off to do what we said he was going to do. So there might be a little bit of CYA there as well. But I think the deal has got to be just about done. I don't think any of these rumors of Brock not turning the title over or trying to hold it hostage like Ric Flair in the 90s, where he literally ran away with the belt.
Right.
Because they forgot to give his deposit back. If you ever want to have fun, Google that. If you ever want to know why NWA, WCW went out of business, maybe forgetting to give Maybe making guys give you deposits and then forgetting to get the deposit back to guy so he legally owns your belt might not be the best business practice. That's not happening with Brock Lesnar this time. I don't think anybody's going to go in there and start shooting on anybody in a fight. I mean, if anybody could do it, it could be Brock, but he, I don't know, is he that crazy? I mean, he's left million-dollar contracts on the table with those guys before.
So he's crazy with money, but he doesn't seem reckless.
No.
You know, because if you go back to, and again, this will kind of, I'm painting this picture because this seems like what type of a competitor he is. If you go back to when he fought Kurt Angle and did that moonsault and fell on his neck, right? Like somebody who's crazy and just wants to be stupid and ruin the product because he's crazy and doesn't care, but wouldn't have gotten up and would have ruined the whole angle, right? Somebody who cares and wants to make sure that he makes everything end up the way it's supposed to, figures out a way with a broken neck to crawl over to Kurt Angle, pin him so that he can finish the storyline he's supposed to finish. So I don't know that he's going to injure anybody at WrestleMania for the sake of injuring them since they have nothing to do with the negotiation.
I mean, if he's going to, I really hope it is Roman Reigns. Maybe that's why they're leaving him in that title fight, even though everybody hates him. Like, well, if Brock goes crazy on somebody, let it be this dude. It
certainly is that. Okay, so we talked about Fedor this week and how he's clearly a huge fan of women's MMA. He's talked before about how he doesn't like the product. He doesn't think it should be a product, but he's kind of, in his retirement, gone all in, all Texas Hold'em on how he doesn't think it is a thing. The quote from this week, which both Carla Esparza and Johanna have taken notice of.
Are you going to do an accent when you do this?
I am not going to do an accent for it. Sorry. He said, MMA is for men. It's a man's sport. Goes on to say, this is the part where I say, this is the stuff you joke about but don't mean. Fedor isn't joking. A woman must be a domestic goddess, raise her children and be feminine. There are a lot of different sports which help her and do that, like sandwich making. I added that one, sorry.
Oh.
But MMA is not one of them. So there are a lot of different sports which help her in that, but MMA is not one of them. Let's tear that sentence apart. A woman must take care of children and be feminine. There are a lot of different sports which will help her in that regard. What sports are those that help me take care of children and be girly?
I'm not sure. Maybe shot put so you can carry the baby?
Juggling,
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Juggling My Little Pony.
I imagine he said that and then he turned around and high-fived Slava Fetisov, the minister of sport for Russia. Because I sort of get the vibe that Slava's probably not down with women's MMA either. So
now I'm just totally picturing, right? Like, women make sandwich for us, right, Slava?
Yeah,
woo, yeah. So that, I mean, he
Slava's
said,
wife shows up with her bolt-ons and
with sandwiches.
I'm going to die now, aren't I? Like Slava's going to get me killed. I'm pretty sure.
As far as I can tell,
Eric won't even touch it, folks.
As far as I can tell,
you're listening to the podcast right now. Eric's like moving. He grabbed another piece of paper. Says, "Let's stop talking about Russian government officials." You only get that on Meerkat. That's what you get.
That's some exclusive stuff you get on Meerkat. In boxing news, there wasn't much MMA last week. Instead, you got boxing. And the attempt to put boxing and make it more mainstream seemed to have worked. The overnight ratings, 3.4 million viewers. The most watched televised boxing event since 1998 when Oscar De La Hoya fought on Fox.
Yeah. Is anybody coming back, though? Those were two boring fights.
I don't know that, but... you know, and we are not somebody who jumps into this argument, but you hear that argument a lot about boxing is dead and boxing can't. I think it's interesting that you might have a mainstream play here if you could figure out the product side. There's an audience. Right now, all you have to do is fix the product.
Yeah, I mean, Broner on network TV, I think is fine. He's that guy who wants to pretend he's Floyd Mayweather, though, and he's not really. He's not that. It's interesting how exciting Floyd looks next to that guy, because everybody used to slam on Floyd for what this guy's actually doing. And you're like, oh, Floyd's actually a lot better at it, and he can actually hit, and if he wants to come do these other things, so that'll be interesting. I know what's going to work here. If you get Leila Ali to actually get into a ring with Ronda Rousey, can we do that? She's clearly been calling her out. Would Dana allow that? Let's get away from Vince allowing Brock to do things. I don't think Dana would allow her to box. Because I don't think that's what you do.
I don't think that serves the purpose. She's not the world's best boxer. That's not her title, right? She's a badass. And you know, as I talked about last week and I talked about with Sean and Joe, who on Facebook want to send me five-year-old videos of Gegard Mousasi beating up Ronda Rousey as if that's the same Ronda Rousey as you saw. Like, those guys aside, right? She's
so wait, is Leila Ali now Gagarin Mousasi?
No,
I don't know what's happening.
What I'm saying is, like, there are many ways that you can tear apart this argument about what Ronda is good and or not good at. And if you want to do this thing, Leila Ali needs to do MMA, or we're doing judo. I just don't see.
Ronda, oh, I agree.
And Ronda's boxing has gotten better, but it's not Leila Ali better. Like, let's be real here.
Oh, no. Well, let's calm down. Let's not. Leila has, what, 3-0 as an amateur. That's really. And against other women.
Okay.
I don't know.
I just, like.
She didn't fight her dad to win anything. Let's calm down.
I'm a fan of epigenetics, and I just think that Leila Ali probably has some skill set that's genetically inherent.
This and the Joe Rogan podcast, probably the only place you're going to hear epigenetics.
I just think that there's something there, and I don't know that Ronda's striking is as good as Layla's. That's not to say that she couldn't beat her, because I think all things being equal, if you called it a street fight and everything was up for grabs, I think Ronda Rousey wins that fight. But you are 1,000% correct. Dana should not send Ronda Rousey to go box Leila Ali.
Well, Leila Ali also said she'd throw her around like her 3-year-old, so she probably wouldn't care if it's an MMA fight.
And if that's the case, let's do that.
Co-promote? Fox and NBC?
We already did it. James Toney fought Randy Couture. That was already...
Yeah, but you know what? This would be... As crazy as that...
This would be way more legitimate than James Toney.
As crazy as that was... James Toney's a legit boxer. We all knew it was going to happen, and so many boxing fans didn't realize it, and then they... James Toney was over the hill, blah, blah, blah. Even though he fought a 48-year-old Randy Couture, I think, at that point.
Fought a guy in a wheelchair.
Right, so... How big would this be? We've heard it talked about here and there. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more play. Dana's essentially invited Leila in. I'm surprised he hasn't pushed the gas down a little harder on this one.
Yeah,
write the big check like you won the sweepstakes and put Layla's name on it and say, if you'll get in the cage, here's your check.
Here's the check that you get. But yeah, right. you want to take this rocket ship that's clearly on an upward trajectory and run it over the moon. This is how you do that.
This is bigger than the stupid Ronda Mayweather talk we've heard about for the past couple of years.
Totally.
So this would be huge. I don't know how Dana doesn't try to make this fight. And maybe he is. I mean, maybe this is something. This is a great pay-per-view idea. This would be amazing. People would pay for. You could put it in that headlining slot, which you couldn't do with Tony and Randy Couture at that point.
No.
So we
all essentially knew that Randy would grab his toe and then choke him unconscious, which is exactly what happened.
I knew this has been bubbling a little bit. I'm surprised nobody's really grabbed it, though, at the UFC a little bit harder. And maybe they will. Maybe they're going to see what Leila Ali actually has to say.
Well, do you think, I mean, to go back to last week, we were talking about the break. I mean, she's taking – it's like the first break Ronda has taken.
Right. It's a normal, like fighter break.
Right. But do you think the timing – like, let's not talk about this now. Let's let her go do her thing and do the movie and take a break and do that stuff. And then when she comes back, we will have figured all of this out in the back room.
Maybe.
And then we can start – you know, we can go all in on the Leila Ali Ronda Rousey fight.
And I know a lot of people were saying Leila was joking. I mean, I looked at some of the stuff. She might be joking, but she certainly doesn't think that Ronda Rousey can beat her up. I don't know what the weight would be, though. I don't know what the difference is. I have no idea what Leila fights at or fought at when she fought. So what was she at when she was on American Gladiators? Do we know that? Her and Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
right?
Hang on. I just have it at the ready. That's the kind of stuff that I keep in my head.
You've got the Mac. So I thought maybe it was over there ready to go. You looking it up?
I'm doing it right now.
160. Whew.
So that's close, right?
She could fight Cyborg.
Yeah, she could fight Cyborg the day after Cyborg makes weight, apparently, is at 175. That likely won't work.
160. You could do 145. I think Ronda would do 145 for Leila Ali.
So you straight up call it a super fight, take it just out of the universe?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be for the belt or anything at that point, because you'd probably have to do something about the weights. I don't know if Ronda would want to do it, though, while she's still champion, because I get the vibe from her. She wants to kind of maintain where she is and her training level and what she's doing. So maybe we're keeping an eye on it down the road.
I think that's probably a good plan.
All right.
Talked about Mark Munoz. He has lost his last three to Machida, Gegard Mousasi, and Rowan Carneiro, and all of them in the first round. He is going to fight one more time, May 23rd, in the Philippines. That is the fight that is headlined by Frankie Edgar and Uriah Faber. That will be UFC Fight Night 66, or as Joe calls it, the fight that's not for us because it's not in this country.
No, but none of them are for us.
It will be Edgar and Faber as the main event, and Luke Barnett and Mark Munoz will fight fight, and that will be the last time win, lose, and or draw. So if you're a Mark Munoz fan, make sure you tune into that or grab it on Fight Pass, because that will be the last time that Mark will step into the octagon, says he. And then midway through this week, Wes Sims was on The Underground, MMA.TV, talking about Mark Coleman, and he is in need of a bunch of surgeries and does not have the money to take care of that. He's got to get him where he needs physically, and they actually had an anonymous donor who has taken care of some of these things, but that guy or girl has since run out of the ability to do that, so they're turning to The Underground to see if they will help Mark Coleman. And as a pioneer of the sport, I just felt it was worth bringing up and saying, if you are so moved to help Mark get those surgeries, you can do that online, MMA.TV. Just look up Wes Sims' account in The Underground.
We can link that up on Facebook, too.
We'll link it up on Facebook, but you can go to The Underground right now if you're watching on Meerkat and donate away if you would like to do that. UFC 1...
If everybody on Meerkat right now gives a dollar...
We'll have
$8.
We'll have $8, which is fantastic.
And three of those are the people in this room just signed on to see if it works.
Two of you. Here, I'm actually doing the work.
I'll put some money in.
Terrific. UFC 185, it is this weekend. You can catch us out live, Celebration Cinema North. You can get your tickets, CelebrationCinema.com. That'll be Pettis and Rafael Dos Anjos, Esparza and Jędrzejczyk, Hendricks and Brown, Nelson and Reem, Carriasso and Cejudo. Run real quickly. Who are you going to pick in all of these?
I will take Pettis.
Okay.
I will take Brown. I will take Roy Nelson.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to take Nelson.
Wait, hang on. Are you taking Nelson in the fight or afterwards when Overeem tests and it turns to a no contest?
Well, you know, I like to hedge my bets.
Okay. So we got to hold on to the money, then.
I'm not going to call the Carrasco-Cejudo fight. I don't know enough about those guys. And then... I guess I'll just go with Carla,
okay,
because she's the champ, quote unquote, at this point.
I am going to take Rafael Dos Anjos. I'm going to take Jędrzejczyk. I am going to take Brown.
You're only taking her because you practiced her name a lot before the show.
I'm going to take Brown. I am going to agree with you on Nelson, and I am going to take Cejudo, I think.
I would like Cejudo to win.
I like the idea of an undefeated fighter and JD, you know.
Yeah.
Or DJ, sorry.
Look what it did with Kat Zingano.
Right.
Resulted in a spectacular finish for the champion.
I think is a great thing. So you can get your picks online at Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Have an awesome weekend. We will talk next week and see you tomorrow night at the theater. 1738. I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Sent your pretty ass soon as you came in the door.